Happy Easter, everybody. Come on. That's not good enough. This is Easter. Come on. No. I don't think you heard me. I said, this is Easter, everybody. Come on, let's give an Easter praise to God. A little louder and a little bit lengthier would be just all right around here. We're just so glad to have you here at Cross Point. We just want to say a heartfelt welcome. I'm Pastor Theron, and just an honor to have you here. While I'm welcoming you here today, let me also say a heartfelt welcome for all those that are joining us online. Come on, let's give it up for those that are along for the ride online with us. Glad you're here today. What an awesome time we're having here at Cross Point, and it's not over yet. The fun has just begun, and so excited about what God is doing here. And didn't you enjoy the worship today? Come on, isn't that awesome? I'm going to do one thing here. I'm going to make myself at home, get my water that I left down here. All right, thank you. If you're new here today, I hope that you'll just relax and know that you're among people who just love God and love people, and we're on our way to heaven, and we're trying to get as many people to go with us as possible. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We've been in a series around here called Miracles. Excuse me. And I believe that miracles still happen. Now, there's a lot of discussion these days about whether miracles are still for today. But I just want to let you know that you are in a church right now that absolutely 100% believes that God still does miracles today. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's good news, because if you need a miracle, guess what? God's still available to do miracles in your life. We talked about that in the first week. We talked about the miracle of Cana, which is the first miracle that Jesus performed in his public ministry. We talked about that, and encourage you, if you missed that, you can go online and check that out. All those messages are archived on our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can download notes there as well with that. The next week, we talked about the miracle of Jesus. Jesus is really the miracle. We talked about the resurrection of Lazarus, but the miracle was really Jesus, and we're going to discover that also today. Last week was a classic. We talked about the miracle of the donkey. And so don't look to your left or right when I say that. Okay, it was the miracle of the donkey. God has a purpose for every one of us, and he sees where we are and what we're doing. I really encourage you to go back and listen to that if you missed that. Today we're going to talk about the miracle of heaven. I want to begin by encouraging you to take your worship guide, and you can follow along with us on some message notes that are there in your worship guide. They'll be helpful for you, some fill in the blanks there. We kept it real simple this week. And I just really have a simple message, but I believe it is very, very powerful. I believe it could change your life, and I believe it can change your life in the here and the now. And I want to encourage you to follow along with us. We'll have this up on the screen also for you. But the first thing you'll see there in your notes is this scripture that's found in Psalm 77, verse 14, that says, "You are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power." Notice it's present tense. He's still God, everybody. He's still God. No matter what happens in your life, we know that he is still God. He's in control. He's got a master plan. And he still demonstrates his awesome power even today. Job 5:9 says he performs, that's present tense, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When we talk about miracles, you know, we all want a miracle. In fact, if you've got a problem, you usually just want a miracle, right? God, just solve this problem, solve this issue in my life. And I love this fact, you know, a lot of us, we want miracles, but nobody wants a problem, right? But yet, it starts with a problem. So if you don't have a problem and you'd like a miracle, what you could do is at the end of service, come up here, we'll pray that God will give you a problem so that you'll be a candidate for a miracle. How's that sound? But really, we think about miracles, and we all want to enjoy miracles. And I've experienced miracles in my life. I've seen phenomenal things happen in my life and see God do things. And as one person said, you've come too late to tell me that God doesn't still heal. You know, the great physician has not closed up shop. I've seen it happen. I've seen a woman that I used to go and pick up and take to work who was blind, and I saw God instantly heal her in a moment. I know God still does that, and that shouldn't surprise us because that's who He is. But as much as we value those miracles, and those are what I would call earth miracles, it's miracles that we experience now in this life. It's miracles that we need now. It's miracles that we need by the end of the month. It's miracles that we need in my marriage right now or in my body right now. It's the miracles. And while we all value those miracles and those miracles are great, can I tell you there is an even greater miracle for you today than what we would call an earth miracle. And I'm going to call it a heaven miracle. The greatest miracle of all is the resurrection. There's more to Easter. I believe we're going to discover this today. There's more to Easter than just this resurrection power for the here and now. But there are miracles, and that is good news because we need resurrection power in dead places in our life that needs to come to life again. Things that have died, things that we need God to resurrect hope in again. But the greatest miracle is the miracle of heaven. I want to give you this scripture that's found in Romans chapter 8 and 11. I'm just going to share a few scriptures with you today that I believe will help us on this Easter Sunday really realize the full impact of what this day is all about. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead." Now get this, it's the same Spirit, that same power that had the ability to take Jesus who was in the grave for 3 days and raise Him to life. That same Spirit, look at this, lives in you. That's powerful, folks. That's powerful. That Spirit lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. That is powerful, a powerful truth. And so I want us to see this, and write this down, fill this in for me, and that's this, that we believe that we can not only celebrate the resurrection in some event that happened 2,000 years ago, but we can also experience it today. So it's not just something we celebrate, and we need to celebrate that, but it's also something that we can experience. I'm going to give you a scripture that's found in Luke chapter 10. Jesus had become so popular that He not only had 12 disciples, actually He commissioned 72 disciples to go out and gave them authority to go out in His name and do miracles and see people set free. And so after He had sent them out, those 72 returned to Him. And in verse 17, it says that the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in Your name." They were surprised. They said, "Hey, this thing actually works." And we do believe that He has the power to do that. We believe He has that resurrection power to change marriages, to help us in our job situations, in our health, in our finances, in our relationships. But there's something greater, and He goes on. And look how He redirects them. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So in other words, what you're telling me is no big deal because I know I have power. God has power over Satan. And when He observed that happen, and when that happened, let me just explain this. It was not this long, drawn-out, 6-7-part Star Wars series of evil and good conflict where, you know, it's just a struggle. No, it was just God said, "You're out of here." Bam, He's gone. Lightning. You know how fast lightning is? Bam, you're gone. You're out of here. That's how it happened, folks. And so Jesus said, "That's no big deal." You know, yes, there is authority. In fact, some of you, I think, might be struggling with things that seem to be over your head already, right? And now in your life. And you need to be reminded that if you belong to God, there's a Spirit of God that lives in you that has power and authority. And what seems to be over your head, listen, is already beneath His feet. Amen? Can I get an amen right there? It's the truth. It's the truth. And so, but notice how He redirects them. He says, He goes on to say, however, those things are great. God has the ability to heal and give you an earth miracle and deliver and set people free. However, I want to redirect you from focusing on the miracles and the things of this earth, and I'm going to focus you on something even better. He says, however, do not rejoice that your spirits, that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice, look at that, that your names are written in heaven. Now, that's something to focus on. That's something to celebrate. That gives us a hope beyond the here and the now. The greatest resurrection of all, or the greatest miracle of all, excuse me, is the resurrection hope that one day we're going to leave all this. Because I don't know about you, but I've figured out that when I solve one problem, guess what? There's another problem. Life is full of problems. In fact, Jesus said it. He didn't say, I've come, I'm going to fix all your problems. He said, be of good cheer. He said, in this life, you're going to have problems. Be of good cheer. I've overcome it. But he never promised that the problems would go away. But he gave us a promise that was greater than these things. Amen? In fact, if you don't realize it yet, one out of one people, in my calculation, one out of one die. And you're thinking, well, welcome to church. Could you be a little more positive? Well, I'm positive. One out of one. Last I checked, that's the way that works. I went to the doctor recently. I was sharing with the church here that my wife and I had a little shocker in recent days. We had two words that came to us by a doctor. The word to me was open heart surgery. I don't like that word. What you talking about, doctor? Not anything. This could be years down the road, but he said, you're born with a little thing in your heart that's wrong, and we need to fix that at some point. I'm like, I don't like the sound of that. My wife, for her, the word was cancer. Don't like the sound of that. We got surgery scheduled tomorrow morning. God's going to take care of it. We're believing for that. But when those things hit you like that, bam, bam, you know, it's like, okay, I thought I was going to live forever, you know, and it sort of takes your breath away. But what it causes you to deal with is the brevity of life, that we are not going to live forever in these bodies. Now, I'm always one that I don't want to think about the caretaker, the undertaker. I'd like to think about the uptaker myself, you know, just going the rapture. That sounds like a good plan for me. But either way, this body's going to die. It's not going to be this body. We're going to have a new body. Either way, this one ain't going to last forever, y'all. I know y'all young people, y'all looking at me like, what you talking about? Well, you'll get to where I am real fast. Trust me. I mean, it happens. And you realize this life, the Bible says that this life is a vapor. It's just a mist in time. And yet, we put so much emphasis on this here and now that is so brief and so temporary. We put so much emphasis on, I got to get this right and this straight and this lined up and this healed and this fixed and this and that. But yet, this life is so temporary. But what would it look like if we put not so much emphasis on the earthly miracle and focused on eternity and those things that live forever and those things that really matter? I believe what it would do, it wouldn't just cause us to live in the one day, by and by, but I believe when we have a perspective of eternity, it'll actually change the way we live in the here and now. I believe it'll give us a hope. The Bible says that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, you need more than this life. Does this make any sense? We need something beyond this life. But I just want to encourage you. Listen, that God has all this under control, but he has a plan for our life. Let me just give you this scripture. It's found in John chapter 14. And interesting, and notice again how Jesus always redirects from the earthly to the heavenly, from the temporary to the eternal. John chapter 14, disciples were kind of bummed out. They weren't getting news like they were wanting to receive, and things weren't going their way, and this wasn't quite how they had things planned. They thought Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom. They're going to take over these Romans. This is going to be their place here on this earth. They're thinking political solutions. They're thinking, you know, temporary, come on. Fix the economy, fix the politics, fix whatever, you know, come on, fix it, Lord. And Jesus is telling them, no, it's not going to work that way. I'm about to leave. What you talking about, leave? And here's what Jesus' response was. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Which at that point, you're thinking, okay, what is he about to say next? Okay, I'm going to trust you. All right, you're going to fix this. Thank you. Whew. I need this fixed. But that's not what he went on to say. He goes on, instead of talking about fixing the earthly, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. One version says mansions, anything in heaven. It's not just a room, it's a mansion, okay? If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you, a place for you. Notice, again, he redirects them. And let me have you write this down. Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers a better place, a better place. Amen. Amen. What we have now, listen to this, is a deposit for things to come, for things to come. It's a deposit for things to come. Eternal hope changes the way you deal with the here and now. I got to share a story with you. And I left my water, and now I left my phone. Y'all, we can't go anywhere without our phones. Y'all know that. Okay. All right. So just bear with me. I asked for permission to share this. I want to just talk about how that, again, we can have hope in the midst of it all. So there's a hope beyond this world. There's a hope of heaven one day. And it's going to affect how we live our life in the here and now. But there's also, when this happens, we have this hope. God deposits some heaven now, and I love that. The Bible talks about it's a foretaste. There's a down payment made in our spirit of heaven. His spirit comes and lives inside of us, and it's a down payment of things to come. So God deposits some glory. God deposits some of heaven in the meantime, but it's just a foretaste of what is to come. Amen? And I love that, because we need a little bit now, but God assures us of that in what we're going through now. I want to share with you some good friends of mine by the name of Freddie and Mary Gay Steele. They're in the ministry. They have a ministry in Chicago. Great ministry. Here's this beautiful couple. Freddie and Mary Gay used to, just hold that one picture right there, son. They used to be in ministry here in Charlotte. We did ministry together here. God's led them to Chicago. He has a tremendous ministry that he does and helps the homeless there, and they have a church. He pastors, and this lady here can sing like a bird. I'm telling you what, this lady can sing. She's anointed, just powerful couple. Some years ago, she was pregnant, and the birth did not go well, or the pregnancy was not going well, and the delivery process was not going well, and I'm sure I don't have every detail right on this, but all I know is there was a miracle that happened during that time. Now, what's interesting, the side note of that was her doctor was an unbeliever who didn't believe in the Lord, one of the most prominent doctors here in Charlotte. And through their witnessing to him, and I think some other doctors and other people, and through, I believe, what he saw with his own eyes that he couldn't deny as a bona fide miracle before him as a doctor, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, that's my wife's doctor now, and this happened before my 25-year-old was born, so this was several years ago. Just give you a little history there, miracle there. In fact, show me the next picture there of the family. See the oldest, that's her daughter. Now they got a granddaughter. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And so that's the miracle right there that you see. Just wanted to bring you up to date, though. In the last just a couple of months, they have had some extreme challenges. Mary Gay, she lost her sister in February. And then right after that, Freddie has a massive heart attack and is in the hospital. I think it was triple bypass. I believe I have that correct. And he's in the hospital. And then while he's in the hospital, Mary Gay loses her sister. So she lost her brother. I guess it was her sister first, then her brother. I may have that wrong, but I believe that's correct. And so she lost her brother while now her husband is there in the bed recovering from this surgery. She had just lost her sister and now her brother. He doesn't even know it, okay? And she can't even be comforted by him because she doesn't want to share this tragic. And all this she's dealing with, and see if I can get through this without crying. I asked their permission if I could share some stuff that she put on Facebook regarding this. And let me just share this with you. It kind of just speaks to the hope that we're talking about and that heaven that comes down in those times when we need it. Here's what she says. This was March the 8th. She said, in the early afternoon today, I was sitting beside my gentle giant, listening to a myriad of sounds from various machines that helped his heart to beat or to deliver fluids to help heal his body. As I listened to all this, I heard him softly whispering, and I thought it was a request to help adjust his oxygen mask. As I bent closer to lift his mask a little higher, I heard him singing slowly in a broken voice the beautiful words, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Anybody know this? Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. My heart became overwhelmed with joy, or with wonder, at the mystery of the Holy Spirit as he sang through my precious honey, who was still semi-conscious. He continued, heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. She goes on to say, oh, where is the rest of it? I didn't get the rest of it. Here it is. Let's see. No, it's not. Anyway, he goes on. You get the gist of it. She shares another verse from that song, and he goes into a second verse and a second chorus. He sings that out to, while he's laying there under all of this singing expression of heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Little did he know that she had suffered the loss of yet another sibling, and yet God was there ministering and being so real. Go to another picture, if you would, of them. Beautiful, precious couple. I got to share this next one here. Share the next. Okay, one more. That's him on his motorcycle. This guy loves Facebook Live. I'm telling you. In fact, what he does, he'll mount a Facebook thing, on GoPro. What do you call this thing? And he goes riding down the road and he through the streets of Chicago, y'all, and ministering to people and helping people. And dangerous situations, and you're sitting there riding along with him watching all this. He actually snuck some videos while he was in the hospital and said, I hope Mary Gay doesn't come in here because I want to give you guys an update of how I'm doing. And he's laying there in his hospital bed ministering hope to other people while they're in all this, going through all this. I just want to tell you, there is hope in Jesus' name. I just want to encourage you with that. Kind of reminds me of another person I heard of, and Pastor Steve, I was talking with him about this. His father, he shared in a message here at Cross Point not too long ago about how he had the opportunity to lead his father to the Lord right before he slipped into eternity. And he was reading a scripture for him, and the scripture that he shared with him was this scripture I want to share with you. It's not in your notes, but it's found in Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And, look at this, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. When he read that, he said, whoa, whoa, back up. What's that? Read that word again. Well, he said, hope. Something inside him reached out and grabbed hold of hope. And he was able to declare his faith in the hope that he had in Jesus Christ. And he started experiencing, even laying there in the hospital bed, life. Steve said they had a little worship set going on right there. Steve's the guy who plays the main guitar up here. He's our small groups pastor. He talked about how they were there in the room and they just began to sing songs together. They had an Easter celebration. Come on, everybody. before he went into to eternity, into this promise, this miracle of heaven. Let me give you this scripture, and I think it's probably one of the most powerful scriptures I can share with you on this Easter Sunday. It's found in John chapter 11, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So resurrection is not just an event. Resurrection is a person. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life." And when we have a relationship with him, we can experience the life. And he says it this way, "He who believes in me will live even though he dies." That doesn't sound too good, does it? Even though he dies, but it says, "And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? So what he's saying is that even though you die, death does not have a sting anymore. It does not hold us anymore. It does not have power over us anymore. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave for us so that even though we die, there's no sting in that. There's no victory in the grave because Jesus has conquered all that, and it's just a stepping stone from one life to a real life, amen, an eternal life through him. And that's what Jesus offers us today. I want us to, and that's what I'm offering you today. There is a hope of heaven here today, guys. There is a hope, a promise, a miracle of heaven that I want you to be a part of. You know, do we believe this? The question is asked there. I believe in this day in which we live, we're so focused so much and absorbed with the here and now. I think that's why people are half going crazy, because they think it's all determined in this moment, here and now. I believe the generation before us got it better than we are getting it. I mean, today, we got the phone that we can't live without, right? We got the phone that does everything. We got 1,000 channels on TV. You know, back in the day, they had 3, and they didn't get those very well. Because, you know, you got to get the aluminum foil between the rabbit ears. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I used to go outside my house, and they had this. We had a big antenna. It was sitting on top of the house, but it's still an antenna. And it had a pole, and I had to go out there, and I'd twist the pole to the right angle to get the right signal. And they'd holler at me when I got, "Whoa, whoa, right there, right there." Y'all don't know what. But a generation ago, there was a lot to depend upon, and there was some depression and some things going on in the world. But that generation, their hope was not in the here and now. Their hope was in a better life that was yet to come. Amen. Come on, somebody out there, right? And their hope was not in this world. In fact, we would have what we called sangins. Y'all know what a sangin is? A sangin. Sangin is when you get together and you get the hymnal out and you say, "Anybody got a request? Page 213. Let's sing 213. Okay. Print lady on the piano gets, okay, we're ready. All right. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." Come on, somebody. Here's another one. "Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away in the morning," the basses would sing. "Come on, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away." Now, I know I'm embarrassing some of you right now. But here's what my point of all that is this. Is that most all their songs were about heaven, about the next life. And I know that could be to the extreme where we don't live in the here and now. But what I present to you is I believe when we've got a hope for tomorrow, it makes this life make a lot more sense. And it will change how you live in this life. It'll change how you handle the problems in this life. It'll give you hope in the here and now because you've got an eternal hope in Jesus that will not die. Amen. Amen. We need that hope. And I believe that's what the world needs. We need a hope. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." They're talking about death there. The Bible, it doesn't even call it death. It's just, they're just falling asleep. "Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." A lot of people with no hope. Now, I just got to ask you the question this morning. Do you have the hope? Goes on to say, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring Jesus, those who have fallen asleep with him." And then it says this. It says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So there is a hope that we have in Jesus. I heard the story. I'm telling this secondhand, but I just think it's a powerful story. I heard about a pastor who was on an airplane, and he got on there. And you know how you do on the plane? You sort of just kind of, at times, you just want to take time to not have to engage somebody in conversation the whole flight. And so, you claim your seat, you get up next to the window, you're eyeballing people as they come in, and you're thinking, and so what you do is you pretend to be asleep so that they won't bother you, you know, they won't start the conversation. So you hunkered in, and you're watching them, and you think, oh, Lord, not that one. Come on, y'all. I'm just keeping it real. So this pastor sitting there, and he's kind of going through these thoughts, and here comes this guy, big guy. And he's like, oh, Lord, no. Here he comes. He puts his luggage up overhead, and he takes his coat off, and he slings his coat as he's taking it off, hits him upside the head. He's like, I know, you know. And then, you know, the pastor's already claimed his spot on the armrest. You know, you either front seat or back seat. You know what I'm saying? You got to claim your spot there on that armrest because you're going to share that. He said, so the guy plops down beside me, pushes my arm off. I know, you know, I mean, like, and then, you know, he kind of grunts a little bit to let him know, hey, you're bumping. And then the next thing he does, he nudges him in the ribs. He says, hey, oh, what? He says, what do you do for a living? And he says, as a pastor, you always have to figure out how you're going to answer that question. You know, do you lie? Or, you know, so he said, well, I'm a pastor. He said, as soon as he said that, this man begins to start bawling loud. I mean, like loud, like the whole plane can hear him crying, and the pastor's thinking, oh, great, there goes my nap. Counseling session, all right, okay, dude, what's going on here? What's the problem? Why are you crying so hard? And he said, what's your name? What's your name? Billy. He said, what's going on, man? What's wrong? Oh, man, I just came from a funeral. My best friend, he came home, and he came up the driveway, and his little girl comes running up the driveway, and he goes to catch her, and as he lifts her up, he has a heart attack, falls on the ground, her on him, and dies right there, and he starts crying all over his man. And so he's trying to comfort him and give him some hope, and so he knows he's a pastor, so he starts to share some scripture with him, and he says, well, you know, the Bible says, no, hold it right there. What's wrong, man? He said, I'm Jewish. I don't want to hear that. He said, well, Jesus was a Jew. Oh, okay, go ahead. It happened just like that, he said. So he said, okay, all right, I'm listening. And he began to give him the scriptures that just basically says that when we go through things like the scripture just shared, that when we're not like those that have no hope. We grieve. He says, I grieve, but not like you're grieving, because I have a hope. And he said, well, how do I get that hope? And he began to explain to him the hope that we have in Jesus. That Jesus came to earth to die on a cross for our sins, to take our place for us. So that when we die, it's not the end. Some people worry about this heaven and hell issue. Listen, hell is just a place where you go to pay for your sins. But why would you want to do that when somebody's already paid for it for you? And that's what Jesus came to do. And he said, so when we accept Jesus, we know that's been paid, and we now have a promise and a home and a hope and a promise and a miracle of heaven awaiting us. And he was like, oh man, I need that. And he said, I've never heard that before. And he began to explain it to him and break it down for him. So as they were talking, the plane came to a landing, and they got off the plane, and you know, the pastor was like, well, man, I'll be praying for you. I'll see you later. He said, no, wait, no. You can't leave me. You can't leave me till I got the hope. And he said, what do I need to do? Well, you just need to pray. And the man knew enough to grab his hand right there in the middle of the airport. You know, they're standing there, and the guy's like, well, why not? Hey, why not? So So he grabs his hand, and right there he just begins to pray with him and lead him to the Lord and prayed a simple prayer of faith with him. And as soon as he finished the prayer, old Billy said, "I got the hope. I got it." He said, I told you, there's a hope. And the man was so excited. He said, "That's awesome. What do I owe you?" I mean, he said, No. He said, "There's a scripture that says it's free. I can't charge you. It doesn't work like that." No, I got to do something for you. You know, and he said, I tell you what, he said, I'm very wealthy. I own a chain of toy stores. How many kids you got?" And he said, "Well, no, really, I can't do that." And he said, "No, seriously." And he said, "How many boys you got?" He said, "I got 4 boys." And so he actually had some connections with somebody in Major League Baseball, and he had these personalized, valuable baseball cards. And he said, "Let me get your address. I want to send you these cards. I just got to do something for you." So he's sending these baseball cards, he said, to which he filed. And one of them he keeps on his desk for 2 reasons. To remind him not to gravitate towards selfishness, because sometimes, you know, the nap was good for the pastor, but not good for this passenger, right? And it's all about, not about us, but about others. But also to realize that people need hope. People need the hope that's found in Jesus. And what I want us to understand is that there is a hope that we can have in Jesus. And it's only one prayer away. It's only one prayer away. There is a hope that we can have in Him. I want us to see this morning. And let me get you to write this down. On the back of your notes there, the back page there, I want you to look at this. If today you believe on Jesus, get this, earth is as close to hell as you'll ever get. It only gets better. Isn't that good news, everybody? Think about it. When you believe upon Jesus, earth is as close to hell as you'll ever get. This is as bad as it gets, y'all. That's pretty good news. But I do have to tell you, there's another side of that. And that is that earth, listen to this now, if you haven't believed on Jesus yet, you with me? If you haven't believed on Jesus yet, earth is as close to heaven as you'll ever get. And it only gets worse. I just have to share that with you. But I want us to look at this scripture that's found in John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 says this: "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you may have, that you could have eternal life." And then it goes on to say this: "Believe on the name of the Son of God." And notice the word there, the word is there, it's "believe on." And I think that's extremely important, because there's a difference between believing in, "Oh, I believe in Him, I believe He lived, I believe He exists, I believe in Him." And I think we do that a lot in the South as Christians. "Well, we believe in Him, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus." But let me tell you something, there's more to it than believing on Jesus. Christianity is more than a belief system. The Bible says even the demons believe, okay? And Jesus said there would be many that they will say, "Lord, Lord, I did this and that for you," but then He says, "I never knew you." See, it's more than just believing in Him. It's believing on Him. It's following Him with your life. It's putting your life on Him. Let me illustrate it this way with this story. In the early 1800s, there was a boy born named Charles London in France. At 5 years of age, his parents enrolled him in an acrobat training school. By his early teens, he was a prodigy. He would walk this tightrope, and by the time he was age 31, he moved to America, and he settled in the Niagara Falls area, and he did amazing acts on this tightrope. Let me just show you a picture of him. We have. There's a little picture of him walking a tightrope. He could do amazing things. He could do this blindfolded. Come on, y'all. He actually walked the tightrope in a sack one time, okay, with a wheelbarrow and one time even on stilts. And you know the problem with that, the more you do, the more, you know, people get bored with that act, and you've got to up your act and find new ways of how to be entertaining. And so here he is over Niagara Falls. He's over 130 feet above water. If he falls, he's going to be instantly dead. And there's a crowd gathered to see what his next act will be. And so he gets out there to do this next act across this tightrope. And he says, how many believe that I can walk this tightrope? How many believe I can do this? And everybody starts saying, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. And then he said, how many believe that I can walk this tightrope with somebody on my back? Oh, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. Charles, you're the man. And then he said, well, who will volunteer? Whoop. You know, there's a difference. See, it's one thing to believe in him. It's another thing to get on his back and let him carry you. Same thing with Jesus. It's one thing to believe in him. It's another thing to say, God, I'm going to throw my whole life on you, and I'm going to put myself on you, and I'm going wherever the ride takes me, God, I'm going. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm trusting you, Lord, with everything. And that's the difference. That's the difference. A lot of people believe that he could do it, but few would be willing to take the risk of being the person on him. That's really how faith in God works. It works very much the same way. You can't just believe God did it. He's looking for those that will take the next step. Believing in him is not enough. He's looking for someone that will believe on him. Faith, that's what faith is. It's a risk. I'm gonna throw myself on him. It may be scary, but I'm going to step out in faith. But when we do that, listen, if we want the hope that Billy got, if we want the hope that Mary Gay and Freddie still have, and the hope that Steve Guptill's father discovered, it's got to be, I'm putting my faith on him. And then that's when you receive the hope. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. Today, God, by your Holy Spirit, cause people this moment be willing to take the step, believing on you, putting their life on you, God, that they can have the hope that's everlasting. In Jesus' name. Look at me for just a moment. Here's what I'd like us to do. We do this, we don't do this every Sunday. We do this once a year on Easter Sunday. But I want you to get your worship guide out. Everybody get your worship guide out. I want you to take the connection card. And if you'll look on the back of that connection card, you'll see some boxes that says A, B, C, and D. And what this represents are some decisions that need to be made today by you. And here's the way that breaks down. Let me just share this with you. I'll have it up here on the screen for you. And we want everybody to participate in this, okay? Let's just be honest, all right? A represents this. A means I have already put my trust on Jesus. I have already put my trust on Jesus. So, in other words, I'm already believing on him. I'm fully trusting him with my life. We're in a relationship together. And if that's you, just indicate A, if you would. B is another, is something different. B says, I'm beginning to trust on Jesus today. So today I'm going to make a decision. Today I'm making a decision that I want to believe on Jesus. I want to give him my life. Okay? So I encourage you with that step, to take that step today. I'm believing on Jesus. C is this, I'd like to consider it a bit more first. And why do you have that question? Well, there are people that are not ready, perhaps, but you'd like to consider it. And here's what I would love our church to always be. See, I don't believe church is for Christians. I believe church is for people who need to come and check this thing out and see if it's real, not do anything, not give anything, just hang out. And I want you to know, hear this from my heart, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. If you just want to check this out and you just want to consider this more, you need before you make that decision, I want you to know you're welcome. Okay? There's no pressure. So if that's you, you need to consider that more. Just check that. And then D, and D is a little bit challenging, but I want you to be honest. D is, I don't ever intend on making that decision. And if that's you, I want you to have to be honest enough with yourself to know that that's where you are. And here's what I promise on this, though. You may not like this, but if you check D, we're going to pray for you. And here's what oftentimes happens. Someone who will check D one Easter will come back the next Easter, and they'll check B, and they'll say, last year I was a D. Okay? So I'm just letting you know, we're going to pray for you, okay? Because God's able to change your heart. So I want you to take a moment. Feel that out. And then bow your heads. When you bow your heads, I'll know you're finished. Lord, I thank you for decisions that are made today. And Lord, I thank you for those that are taking that step of faith to put their faith on you, God. As your heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed, I'd like to lead those of you that are ready today to make that decision in a prayer. We don't embarrass people around here, have you come to the front or stand up or any of that. What we would like to do, though, is right there where you're seated, allow you to pray this prayer between you and God. And all you got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. But if that's you right now, and you're ready to pray that prayer, I'd like you to pray this with me. And those watching online, I encourage you to join with us. And I'd like everybody just to join into this prayer just as support for those that need to pray it, okay? Come on, let's pray something like this. Just say, today, God, I give you my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, Jesus, so that I could experience life, so that I could experience resurrection, the hope in this life and the hope to come. Forgive me for going my way. Today, I surrender all to you. Thank you for taking care of my past and giving me a new future. Thank you for coming into my heart and making me brand new this moment. I give myself to you. Lord, with all of my heart, I will follow you. Today I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus. I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. With all my heart, I will follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person who needed to pray that prayer and just prayed it. God, I celebrate with them. Lord, and I pray, God, that now, day by day, they would understand the hope of this wonderful call that's found in Jesus Christ, the wonderful grace of God that settles yesterday and gives us a new future. In this moment, everything's new. This moment, the past is forgiven, and they're a new person in Christ Jesus. Lord, I rejoice with them along with all of heaven. And God, we give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.